There's one problem with this. It is a Mac Apple symbol, but it is actually a Dell. Westminster, where I teach, does not support Macs. So I have Macs at home, and I have a pseudo Mac here. And so you'll pretend like this is a Mac. But blessed be all the Mac users out there. I want to begin by teaching you a Greek word. You would say chaire. Have a little bit of in there. Chaire. Try it. Chaire. Because you're saying that to me, perhaps. Or you could look at each other and say chaire. That means rejoice. I would say to you, chairete. That's just plural. Y'all rejoice, right? Chairete. So I say chairete, and you say back to me, chaire. You're speaking Greek, ancient Greek, actually. Because now if you go to Greece and you say that, they'll look at you weird. Now they say kalimera, which means good day. But that sounds Australian. So chaire, chairete. Let's try it again. Chairete. Well, no, you say chaire back. Let's try it again. Chairete. Right. Now, the cool thing is, this is the way ancient Greeks greeted each other. This is a hello, hi, dude, how you greet each other on the street. It's very instructive for us. It's a word that appears quite a bit in the Bible. I'll get back to that maybe later. But for now, some remarks. I am so grateful and a lot nervous to be up here. My classes usually have about 20 to 25 max, sometimes toward 30. And yesterday, a friend of mine said, oh, pretend it's a class, just like a class. Yeah, class with sawdust between toes and... right. I'll do my best not to make it sound like a class, because this is worship. And I would like to remind you of the monologuing that you just heard. Notice it was all I, and it was not I or you I, but God I. Anybody seen Incredibles? Okay, you know about monologuing. This is God monologuing, okay? So this daunting task of addressing all of you, the generations, as the theme verse says, all the generations, but the message is the same. So I hope you, in your own way, can convert this to your life, where you are, even though what I say in a particular, on a particular day, on a particular topic, may not quite fit. I'll try my best to accommodate where you are in life. Where I'm in life, I'm a professor here at Westminster. And when I got the call inviting me to be the speaker, I was wondering, well, geez, Roger Nishioka did a great job last year, and I know him, and he's great. Why would they be asking me? You know, the financial world has gone downhill. Maybe... But I figured it out. I think I figured it out. See, he's an American of Japanese descent. I'm an American of Korean descent. There's the flag. That's the flag of the country where I was born, the white one with the yin and yang. And yeah, the Asian invasion has begun. New Wilmington Mission Conference. Watch out, Amish. There are Koreans here. The Japanese have been here. The Chinese are here. And I want to mention from the chatter that was published Saturday, this little bit. It said at the top, State of the Village Report, and it's about the world today. And if the world were a village with 100 people, this is what the world would look like. 60 of them would be Asians. 60. 60%. We are the world. Yeah. 14 would be Africans, 12 Europeans, 8 from Central and South America, Mexico, and the Caribbean, 5 from the U.S. and Canada. Okay? We might return to this fact later. And then 1 from Australia or New Zealand. Good day. On the other side of the page in the same chatter was this factoid, Global Mission of the Church number 3. Christians in Africa will soon outnumber Christians in America. And 50% of sub-Saharan Africa is Christian, including 84% of South Africa. I think that's what it was. And then it said, this is when I got a chuckle, The densest population of Christians in the world is in Northeast India, where over 85% are Christian. I thought that wasn't very nice to say about them. The densest population of Christians. I haven't been to Northeast India, but I've been to other places where there are dense populations of Christians. This is actually just for people who like books. These are very thin books, and some of what I say can very well fit into the world that they're addressing. But if you could maybe go on with it to the next slide. Now, and another one. I don't have my usual clicker. Because I'm a college professor, I work with syllabi. Syllabus is what you get at the beginning of the semester that tells you what you're going to be reading, what assignments you have, what the rules are, and so forth. So this is our syllabus for the week. We have many generations here. We have new dogs, we have old dogs, but we're all dogs, okay? We're going to be talking about old dogs and new tricks, and new dogs and old tricks. The main question I want you to ask yourself is this: who am I? Or what am I? Just as good. Who am I? And then once we figure out who I am, right, who you are, maybe we together could figure out what we're supposed to do. Now, on the way to that, I would like you to think about some things in general. This is an overview of what's to come, because I'm not sure I'm going to get through all my slides or get to all through my notes. But people who've had me in class, and some of you are out there, you know how that goes. God sends people, period. We see this in the Old Testament, we see this in the New Testament. God sent you here, and God's going to send you away. God sends. That's what mission means. I already gave this Latin talk to a group before we started. Mitto is where this word comes from. Permit, submit, all these mit words and mission words, submission, permission, have to do with sending. The question isn't whether God sends. That's clear. It's, will we go? Will we move? And I'm going to be addressing that in terms of our identity. Who are we? I'm going to be suggesting that God, if we understood God correctly, is a moving God, sending God, moving God. Okay? I'd like to keep that in mind. And also then, in like fashion, we might think of ourselves as being called by that God who sends and who is on the move as a moving people. And as a sent people and also sending people. I have some assignments for you. That's part of the syllabus, right? If we could go on to the next slide, I could tell you that's sort of the reading list. Actually, there are about 10 or 15 more, but Reverend Dawson gave me only 5 days of 25 minutes each. So this is what you have as assignments, if you will. If you get a chance to look at them, great. If not, that's okay. And there are many other texts I'll be using throughout the week. I would like you to find out and ask your parents if they're here, call them if you have a cell phone, when was I baptized, what date, and where would be a bonus, okay? Especially the older members here who may not remember this, please do that. And if you find out from your church or pastor or parents, grandparents, mark it on your calendar, and I hope at least once a year you remember that Korean-American guy who spoke at Westminster at the, okay, who reminded you to celebrate your baptism. Now, my kids know already what we do at home, which is we celebrate their birthdays, of course, like everybody. But on their baptism day, we have another little party with little mini cake and candle, and we sing happy birthday, and they get gifts. Kids, you got to learn this trick. You'll get two parties out of your parents if you're... So keep that in mind. Your baptism date, that's your assignment. Find that out. I'm going to be covering the entire Bible in 5 days. So hold on, okay? We're going to be fast. Yes. Thank you. Now, this is the theme verse, and it is from the what's called the Revised Standard Version. You don't have to know anything about that. I'm the Bible guy in the Department of Religion, History, Philosophy, and Classics, so I'm doing a little Bible lesson perhaps. But I've underlined the parts that are a little bit different in each Bible, and then I gave you the Greek. I know it's Greek to you, but something is missing in every one of those English translations that I wanted to point out, and that's the green part. You might notice, you don't have to know Greek. If you do a little math, if you belong to a fraternity, you might know some of these. So at the bottom, you'll see to de dunamen no, and that's green. And if you skip the next line to the next line, kata ten dunamen. That's an important word. And you don't see them twice, these two words, in the English translation in the way they are in Greek. So that's why you have to learn Greek and read the New Testament in Greek. That's your other assignment this week. Okay. So, dunamis, what is that? We get the word dynamite from it. And to address the older, the wiser end of the generations here, you may remember JJ from Good Times, dynamite. That's the word. That's the Greek word. Dunamis. It means power or might, energy, right? That's what's sneaking in this verse twice. The English version merely says, he is able to do, yeah, immeasurably or abundantly more. But that is able means he's got dynamite. And the same thing, that's translated power in the English. By the power at work, that's the dynamite. It's explosive. Think dynamite, okay? So that's the theme verse. You didn't know you had to wear pith helmets and all kinds of things for this, but yeah, it's dangerous, powerful stuff. And this is the power at work in you, in me, and during these 5 days, I'm going to try to condition ourselves, help you condition yourself, to recognize it, and sort of like a gardener that plants a seed, not knowing that this seed is going to start growing and take over the whole garden, that this little thing has that dynamite power in it. And the truth of it is, especially if you're baptized, you've been told this, and you've learned this from parents and church communities, you have this in you. Now, right now. The problem is we're a bit dull of our senses. I'll get to that in a bit. Think of atoms. You've all learned about atoms. This is the best way we understand ourselves and our world. The little tiny things we can't see. But you know what's swirling in there? At amazing speed. Little electrons going around the center of the nucleus. And in that is what's in the nucleus of an atom. Come on, high schoolers, show the people, you know. Protons and neutrons. That's right. And in them are little tiny subatomic particles that are just whizzing by at amazing speeds. And you can learn more about that in quantum physics. But this is the world residing in you right now, in your fingertip, the dust you're trying to get out of from your under, and the sawdust between your toes, all that. All of that includes these tiny little fireball factories of energy. But we walk around like we're not going to explode. With all the Michael Jackson comments, I must add, remember his hair? Okay. We all have this dynamite in us. Here we are. Our kids have school, and then they have mommy school and appa, which is daddy in Korean, appa school. And part of what they have to do this summer is to learn the Roman numerals. And can you read the number up there, please? 2009, MMIX, 2009. That's this year. This year marks actually two amazing, mind-blowing anniversaries. One is the quincentenary of, well, Presbyterians among you. You probably set off fireworks and rockets and stuff. July 10th, just a little while ago, he was born 500 years ago, and we celebrated that. I don't know, you don't seem that excited about it. Yeah, it's a woo. That's 500 years ago. It's also the quadricentenary, 400-year anniversary of what is called the Annus Mirabilis. You're getting Latin again, I know. It means the wonderful year. Why is 1609 so wonderful? Well, it was so wonderful that the United Nations declared this entire year, in January of this year, they declared the entire year the International Year of Astronomy in the honor of Galileo Galilei, the other famous Korean, who discovered that he could take a telescope that was made in the Netherlands and instead of looking far out at sea or land, point it up. Duh, right? He points it up. He points it up. He refines the glass, magnifies more, and for the first time, he's looking at the heavens, as it's called, the skies, for the first time, and jotting down what he sees. He's a good scientist, right? He records and draws things. I've seen the pages. And he notes where the stars are and how they're moving. 1609, he points this up. We're too busy, all of us, walking around, busy with our work and school and home and relationships and church. Look up once in a while. 1609. Oh, that's horrible. Sorry. It's a Hubble Deep Field image. And those white things that you see are not stars, by the way. They're galaxies. It's amazing. Those are galaxies. And this is the kind of world... Now, Galileo did not see this. He was good, but he wasn't that good. Not yet. But he was able to see the moon 30 times its normal size. He saw the mountains of the moon. In 1610, the following year, he saw, and this was the breakthrough, he saw the satellites around Jupiter. I know you're all getting excited about astronomy about right now. He saw the satellites, the little moons, four of them, around Jupiter. And this is a breakthrough. Why? Because at that time, most of the people believed that everything went around the Earth. And he saw these things going around Jupiter. And he said, this can't be. Okay, either you have to change the whole universe, God wouldn't like that, or you have to change your eyes and your thought. That's what I'm getting to here. And he noticed that in the universe, the laws applied as they applied on Earth. And he figured all of this out within the span of several years. And, well, you could read more about that later. But what I'm trying to suggest here is that this year marks the 500 years after Calvin's birth, 400 years of this discovery of where we are in the universe, and we are in a great time of change again. That time, the 16th century into the 17th century, way before you were born, was a great time of change, an explosion of knowledge. Talk about power and dynamite. We've sort of taken it in and we've become dull to it. We're again in need of a reformation of that kind. So I have some good news, though. I just picked this up recently in the media. The estimated number of years scientists now say the Earth will remain habitable, that means we could still live on Earth, before the sun fries it, right, is about a billion years longer than we've previously thought. So we have 2.3 billion years ahead of us on the Earth. Whew. That's good news. Now here's the not so good maybe, but I think it's good news, but it might be unsettling news. There's a great play about Galileo by a German playwright called Bertolt Brecht. You don't have to know his name, B-R-E-C-H-T, Brecht. He's buried in Berlin. Maybe those of you on the summer service trip saw his tomb. He wrote a play about Galileo. And in it, he has Galileo say several times, Eppur si muove. Still, it moves. It moves. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask a weird question. How fast are you moving now? 0 miles an hour is a very good answer. And most of our seats aren't moving that fast, so 0 miles an hour. 9,000 miles a minute. Okay, that's a little bit fast. He's faster than that other person. Okay. We're in Pennsylvania, which means we're about... oh, halfway between the equator and the North Pole. And the circumference of the Earth is, come on, scientists among you. Yeah, about 28,000 miles, give or take. All right. Which means the Earth has to spin around once a day, which means if you're at the equator, you have to go about, yeah, you have to do the whole thing in one day and break down to an hour. You're going fast, right around the whole thing. Now, we're not at the equator, we're going a little slower. If you're at the North Pole, you're just doing this, very slowly all day. But we're in Pennsylvania, we're going at about 1,000 miles an hour right now. Okay, check it out. Calm down, feel it. We're going at about 1,000 miles an hour. But not as fast as at the equator, right? Okay, now this is the kind of power that I'm also going to be referring to. The power of knowing and noticing what is happening around us, particularly with regard to God's mission in the world, that might change the way we experience life, experience the gospel, and how we might communicate that. So those of you who have licenses to drive, the next time you get pulled over, of course you'll never be pulled over, by a police officer and the police officer says, do you know how fast you're going? Just smile and say, you have no idea. Yeah. We're moving fast, folks, but we don't feel it. That's part of the problem. Eppur si muove. Even though we don't sense it, things are moving. The Earth is moving. The solar system is moving. The galaxy is moving. In fact, did you know the whole universe is expanding? And we don't know how it's going to end up. It could just keep going, settle down, and then maybe settle down and go back to a big crunch. We don't know. It'll be a long time. before we find out. Everything is moving out there. Everything is moving inside. I'll give you some amazing statistics tomorrow. Every subatomic particle is moving really, really fast all the time. Next time you hear the script, still and know that I am the Lord. God knows this. Being still has slightly different meaning. Okay, here we are. Being in motion is part of what defines our what's called postmodern world. I have a lot to say about that term, but it's basically moving from a period and an exclamation point to a more of a question mark where we are not sure of things anymore. The foundations, we found out, of course, are moving. Traditions, authority, all these things are on the move. They're changing. They're dynamic. So there's nothing for us to stand firmly on. We used to call the earth terra firma, firm earth, solid. This is the stuff, and we say in the Bible too, God is a rock. It's solid. We could depend on it. But did you know inside the rock are atoms and they're always moving? That's the point, you see. We find out that the whole of the universe, whole of our life, all of our bodies are moving. And so there's nothing, always hold on to something, right? You feel like you're going to 1,000 miles an hour. So we're going to deal with the question marks. Especially for the young here, I would encourage you not to run away from question marks. This is a great time for this. Now, I don't suggest that you run away in such a way that these overwhelm your life. But embrace the questions because they might, just might, help you see what was already there in the scriptures with regard to how God deals with people, has dealt with people, and will deal with us with these question marks. And we'll end with that on Friday. Could we go to the next slide, please? Right. So today is going to be sort of a warm-up exercise day, and I'm going to encourage you to think outside the bun or think different or whatever, to stretch out a bit, feel yourself moving at about 1,000 miles an hour. Even if you can't really feel it, think it. Shake a little, do something. Okay, now as a warm-up exercise also, I have this set of slides for you, and the clever of you are going to know the answer, but what do these have in common? Yeah, back here. The invasion has begun. Okay. China with about a quarter of the world's population. Yes, okay. So they have in common a certain area of the world that they occupy in terms of land space. We call this the Far East sometimes, or Far East Asia. Next slide, please. What do these now have in common? And could you... No, more. There we go. You got a whole bunch more there. Anybody? Right back there. Middle East? Some of them. All right. Let's try another slide then. Who said that? They're all in Asia. Did you know this? That Moses was Asian, Muhammad was Asian, Jesus was Asian, Paul was Asian. I'm Asian. Wouldn't you like to be an Asian too? Yeah. These are all countries that belong to the landmass called Asia, declared by National Geographic, UN, and so forth, officially declared. Of course, if you look from space, you don't see any lines dividing anything. But these are the nations that belong to the landmass we call Asia, attached to Europe, Eurasia, right? Everything east of the Ural Mountains. But normally, we don't think of these other popularly known names as part of Asia. So, Ramadan is an Asian holiday, right? Just as the Chinese New Year or the Lunar New Year is an Asian holiday. But so is Yom Kippur an Asian holiday. And you might even claim Christmas or Easter is an Asian holiday. Come join us. Yes. Now we need to be in a hurry. That's where Asia is. That's what it looks like. Next one, please. So these are the names. And if you want to see the breakdowns of the lands, there we are. I was born right there. Forward, please. That's how it might look without the lines. One more, please. Okay, here we go. Now we're getting to the topic at hand. If you grew up normally, or if your parents were kind to bring you up in a normal way, you will see, which by the way is a metaphor for knowing or understanding. You will see that the bottom line segment is what? Longer or shorter?
Same.
No, you're not normal then. No. If you're normal, you'll get the idea, at least in your head, that this might be longer than this. No, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I worked hard on this slot. So help me out. Okay. What's that?
It looks longer.
The bottom line looks longer. That's all I want you to say. Say it with me. The bottom line looks longer. Thank you. I knew Christians could cooperate. Now, if you're normal, you see, and you grew up on this planet, most of us, right, you'll see that this looks longer than that. Next slide, please. But you'll see that, in fact, if you take the circles away, you'll recognize, re-see, and adjust and know the truth. Go back one, please. Oh, no, go back one, please. Voila, and forward. Yeah, good trick, huh? This guy's good. All right, next slide. Same idea, except now we're going to test your vertical side. This doesn't look higher than this? Come on. This looks higher, doesn't it? Longer, taller than this. Of course it does. And that's how you verify your normalcy. You're normal if you see it that way. Okay? But normal means not being able to see or perceive. And it takes a big, thick Bible to help us out to recognize that truth. Please, the next slide will show us. Yeah. Back, please. Forward. It's a good trick, isn't it? We have problems, folks. See. We can't see. All right, so how are we supposed to see new things that God's doing and has done in the world? A few more things, yeah. This is a great week to make sure you verify your normal state. Oh, gosh. Forward, please. Looks like I'm getting the two-minute warning. All of these, in fact, are going to say the same thing, which is we don't see properly. They're all parallel lines. Oh, gosh. You should see a dog, but you don't, maybe. Could you back up one, please? That is, in fact, the Mediterranean Sea, but it takes you a while to see because you're not used to it. Forward, please. That's a Dalmatian. And one more. And that's Jesus. Thank you. At least somebody's seen the Lord. Now, here's the thing. I've run out of time. I'm going to leave you with some homework assignments to prepare us to listen to the Exodus passage and the passage for tomorrow in a way that will start to relate to what you're experiencing today, that we have things to think about. Everybody clasp hands, please. This is the interactive part of the morning. Just keep your hands like this. Just like this. One finger on top of the other. You know how to do this. When you're waiting at the doctor's office, waiting for your lunch, whatever. Okay, now all I want you to do is switch so that the finger that's on top is now on the bottom. Just switch. And you will feel a bit awkward, weird, unnatural, just downright wrong. Right? I want you to have this feeling all week. Walk around like this. And tomorrow when you come, the other thing I want you to do is find out where you're sitting. Don't sit there. I want you to sit somewhere else. Those in the back, please come front. Those on this side, I know you might like my side here, but come to this side. Those on this side, go to that side. Switch around, unless, of course, your leader says you can't. Try this, and try everything else to turn your life around, upside down, inside out, so that you're doing something that makes you feel awkward or new. Okay? That's my request to you. And tomorrow I'll explain what this is supposed to do in helping us seeing how God is on the move and that we ought to follow along. Thank you very much.